What's Trending?
What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu, number one centers around. The injury news with the Chiefs today. Sky Moore headed to the IR with what the team is calling a core muscle injury. You heard from Andy Reid a couple minutes ago. He said it's something they will have to get fixed. So some sort of procedure or surgery for Sky Moore coming. He goes to the IR. That also opens up a roster spot for DeAndre Hopkins, which that move is now official. So no concerns. Good to go. Andy Reid mentioned a short while ago as well that they got to get him out on practice field, but also why wait when he was asked if he'd be available for Sunday's game right here in Las Vegas when the Chiefs take on the Raiders.
He is wearing number 8, in case anyone is curious. Number 8 for DeAndre Hopkins. Next up on Watch Trending, Bucky Irving was not seen at practice Thursday for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You might remember they're already without Chris Godwin for the season, Mike Evans due to the hamstring, and now might be without one of their two starting running backs in Bucky Irving. Just feels like it's been, I feel like, I know we have these conversations every two or three, this has been a brutal year for injuries in the NFL, right?
Like, seems
brutal.
Like normal. Yeah.
I mean, like a crazy number of wide receivers in particular. Weirdly enough, I would say that the running backs have actually been the more available bunch. It just so happens that the best running back in the NFL, Christian McCaffrey, has not been, although Kyle Shanahan yesterday hinted at the idea of a possible post-bye week return for Christian McCaffrey.
That'd be welcome news for a lot of fantasy football owners out there, by the way, that drafted him very high in their leagues. Thinking of injuries, next up on What's Trending, unfortunate news in Columbia involving the Missouri Tigers, who have a huge game in Tuscaloosa against Alabama on Saturday. Pete Thamel reporting late yesterday that Brady Cook is doubtful for this game with an ankle injury. We know he went to the hospital in the middle of their game last week against Auburn. He would return. He would have the game-winning drive. Missouri was once 13.5-point underdogs. They're up to 16.5-point underdogs here at Circa in Vegas due to that injury news. For a de facto playoff elimination type of game, I mean, it goes without saying, if they don't have Brady Cook, they have no chance to win this game. With Brady Cook, it's a tall task. But without him, it's going to get ugly.
Yeah. Next up on Watch Trending, Thursday Night Football tonight, Vikings at Rams. Cooper Kupp was seen at practice all week and maybe is expected to return to the happiness, I think, of many of his fantasy football owners. Are you a Cooper Kupp owner?
I am a Puka and Christian McCaffrey and Chris Godwin
owner. Oh, you're all the other hurt players. Got it. Uh-huh. Well, Cooper Kupp could return to the Rams. Obviously interesting, at least on that end, as they continue to seemingly search out a trade partner. We'll see whether or not that happens. Obviously a big matchup for the Rams, who are trying to stay in the playoff hunt, although I think they're full-blown sellers at this point. The Vikings obviously first got their first loss last week against Detroit.
It's weird where the Rams are at, though. You're right. Like, you know, there's talk about Cooper Kupp getting traded and everything. But because of that division, now we can say it's fool's gold or like they don't have a chance to make a run in the postseason if they even got there. But they're not, like, that division, nobody's running away with it. Like, does anybody actually believe in the Seahawks? We know the Niners' issues right now. Like, that's my only hesitation on saying the Rams should just flat out be sellers.
It just seems like they
but
are.
But it does. I mean, Cooper Kupp is the guy I think that could get moved given his age and everything. Puka, though, if they get him back, does that change DeMarcus Robinson's availability as it relates to Kansas City going out and getting another wide receiver? By the way, that's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. We're expected to have Danan Hughes join us in just a couple of minutes, our regular visit with Danan. He will be right out here in Vegas with us coming up later on this weekend as he gets set to call the Raiders game right here on 96.5 The Fan with Mitch Kling and Dan Israel. We have, I think, one of his, I guess it'd be a teammate of his at the time, right? Mark McMillan's going to join us on the show tomorrow. So it'd be good to have Mighty Mouse join us right here in Vegas. McMillan lives in Vegas, does some Raiders broadcast work.
How dare
obviously you. Grilling McMillan's got his own spices and things like that. So it'll be good to have Mighty Mouse on the show right here from Circa coming up on tomorrow's program. But let's go out to the phones. Welcome in our guy Danan Hughes from the Chiefs Radio Network. He is presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. Danan, we're getting things warmed up for you out here in Vegas, man. It's already nice. We're ready to go.
Yeah, I'm loving it, man. Loving that you guys are out there at Arrowhead West facility, and it's going to be a fun weekend. You got my guy Mighty Mouse coming on, too. We're going to do we got a little meet and greet at the Flanker Sports Bar in Mandalay Bay, so we're going to have some fun this weekend and hopefully get a win, too.
Dane and I liked what Andy Reid had to say about, like, hey, DeAndre Hopkins' son. He's like, why wait? I mean, I feel exactly that way for why they made the trade. This feel like a must. I know people for a while before the Juju injury were like, well, you know, trade deadline's not till the 5th. They got time. I'm like, no, they don't. Not based on the receiver room as it sits. Are you, I guess, were you in any way surprised they made the move this quick for DeAndre Hopkins?
You guys have heard me say I wasn't always a guy that bought into in-season trades for wide receivers or acquisitions for wide receivers, just because I thought, as a former wide receiver, knowing how Patrick moves, being able to be privy to watching him for these last four years plus from the booth, I just felt like he was a guy that you needed to have off-season work with. You needed to have preseason work with to get the continuity that's necessary. But the caveat is when you have Hollywood Brown go down, Rashee Rice go down, Juju Smith-Schuster go down, even if that's temporary, you're talking about top targets and then not having Isaiah Pacheco in the backfield. I think that made it more immediate to tackle in regards to getting a guy like DeAndre Hopkins. So I'm all for it. I feel like he can be, if you look at his early years, there's maybe some parallels to he and Rashee Rice, bigger receivers, possession guys, good yardage after catch, dependable. And so if you're talking about a role that he can fit, like, he's not going to be what you expect Xavier Worthy to be for this offense. He's going to be more close to what we've gotten from Rashee Rice. Crossing routes, pick routes, RPO slants, tough contested catches, yards after catch, move the chains type of guy. I mean, like, when you look at Rashee Rice, like, I feel like the only outside the numbers run a route tree type of route that we saw from him was the one touchdown catch he had against Cam Taylor-Britt and the Bengals earlier this year. Otherwise, everything's been the movements in the middle of the field. That's exactly what you get with DeAndre Hopkins. So I'm all for it. I feel like they may not be done going after other guys. Who knows? I think you just continue to populate that room, especially with Sky Moore going down now. You may see some other moves, and I'm all for it. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to go for a 3 straight Super Bowls. You might as well keep filling the guys with weapons, keep putting weapons in front of Patrick Mahomes.
What does it do for a team, though, too, to see someone like DeAndre Hopkins, the type of career he has had, come into that locker room and obviously join what is hopefully this special campaign to go and get a three-peat?
I think it tells a lot about Brett Veach, Andy Reid, what they're trying to accomplish. Remember, they've been talking about this since before they touched the Super Bowl trophy from last year. Like, they were talking about it on stage about getting a three-peat. And you, as a player, you want to know that your organization is behind every effort that they've been echoing since the offseason. Think about all the teams around the NFL that preach winning is number one, it's premium. Yeah, you know, it's all about winning Super Bowls. And then you go and see actions that go against that. Like, if you're the Jets, were you really trying to go for a Super Bowl when you wouldn't sign Hassan Reddick, when you had all the turmoil and you fired a coach and you changing guys' job descriptions and responsibilities? Were you really trying when you had Ja'Marr Chase holding out? Were you really trying to go for a Super Bowl, and were you practicing what you were preaching in the locker room? So I think we in the Chiefs Kingdom should be really happy that we are part of an organization, supporting an organization that is practicing what they preach. We're going for a third straight Super Bowl. It's Super Bowl or bust for us every single year, and we're going to put the people around necessary to get that done. And to do it in the middle of the season, after a bye week, what have you, I think it just tells you that we got the integrity that's necessary for an organization to be successful.
Who do you think finishes with more receiving yardage the rest of the way, Travis Kelce or DeAndre Hopkins?
I'm going to say Travis. I think the answer in this circumstance, if Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce were healthy from the beginning of the season all the way through, then maybe I would go to Rashee Rice. But based on Travis, even though he had a slow start, I think DeAndre Hopkins can be an asset. He's going to get spoon-fed some of the offense, maybe 10, 15 plays, then you're going to move up, and then maybe around week 12, week 11, you'll start to see him get the bulk of what we expect him to get. But Travis is always going to get the bulk. So I feel like the answer is Travis.
We're talking to Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. You'll hear him on the call Sunday afternoon right here in Vegas on 96.5 The Fantasy. The Chiefs take on the Raiders. I want to talk about the Raiders for a second. Not so much yet what they've been this year, but go back to training camp, the Kermit the Frog stuff, the Christmas Day loss a year ago at Arrowhead. What's your vibes, I guess, heading into this one, knowing all of that has gone on since the last time they've played?
I think it's interesting because I don't think we'll ever experience the hate that the Chiefs and Raiders had in the rivalry back from the 80s and the 90s or even back into the 70s. Definitely in the 90s when I played, when it was preached all the way downhill from Carl Peterson and Marty Schottenheimer that the hatred was real. I don't think we'll ever experience that, but I think we're kind of feeling some remnants of that now. When you consider Max Crosby and poking the bear with Patrick Mahomes and hitting them too much and doing all those extra things, extra unnecessary stuff. And then the taunting on the pick six last year on Christmas Day to the taunting about Patrick Mahomes' voice. I think you're starting to see remnants of the hatred, you know, kind of still boiling in. And that's going to be fun. I think it's going to be fun for us. We've had dominance in that stadium there. I think it's the nicest and one of the best stadiums in the league. And it's going to be fun to be a part of. But I feel like that dynamic is starting to grow some legs, starting to get some life again, and that's going to be really cool for me. It's been, kind of been a lull in that, but I think it's resurfacing.
I think it's nice because, it does make you kind of reminisce to, like, the times when these two hated it. But, Danan, the whole problem is, like, the second they moved to Vegas, like, part of, like, hating the Raiders was, like, the black hole and their fans and people whipping double birds, scoring touchdowns against them. I come here. I've been to a Chiefs game. And I mean, it's like it's a home game. I mean, there are more Chiefs fans than our Raiders fans in the building on Sunday.
Yeah, they're the one NFL team that basically plays 17 away games because every team that plays them, they're going to bring out a bunch of fans. They target that date about going to Vegas and soaking up everything about Vegas. And then going to the football game. So in that respect, you kind of feel for them as an organization because they don't ever have an overwhelming home field advantage. But that's their problem. They couldn't sustain things in Oakland. Back when I played, it went from Oakland to L.A., back to Oakland, and now they're in Las Vegas. So I don't feel bad for them. That's their problem. But it's a good problem for us to have because the Chiefs red is going to be evident, very clear in that stadium on Sunday, just like we've seen over the past few years. I love it. The home of the Chiefs is going to ring loud, and hopefully we can put some pressure on them and continue to push them down into the cellar where they are.
Jalen Watson was playing great, Danan, and that's what's really unfortunate about his injury. I know at camp nobody was sure who the guy was going to be, but he became the guy next to Trent McDuffie. Obviously, it's a significant loss, but how confident are you, based off of really what this coaching staff has done over the last couple of years, that they can't elevate Nazee Johnson's game or Josh Williams' game?
I have total confidence in Dave Merritt that he has coached these guys up, not just this week, but he's coached these guys up every single week to be ready for the opportunity. And there's no better example of that than to see both rookies from last week get their first interceptions. Like, on that stage, in those circumstances, against that type of team, and the desperation that the Niners brought to see Roland Wallace and Jaden Hicks get their interceptions, that tells you a lot about the coaching, that those guys were ready for the moment. And Joshua Williams, he's been around. He's made some big plays. He's been depended on in some big opportunities and big times. I can go back to the Bengals playoff game a couple of years ago where he was out on an island and caused a deflection that I believe Brian Cook intercepted to seal that game. Like, those are circumstances that are taught all year long, not just when a guy goes down. So I feel very confident it's going to look a little different because I believe Jalen Watson was slowly becoming the Trent McDuffie of the last 2 years, while Trent McDuffie was becoming, or has shown, not even becoming, has shown that he was the L'Jarius Sneed of the last few years. Like, we saw like almost a rotation of these guys and their playmaking abilities and their dependability at the cornerback position. So, like, if Trent can come in and make an impact and then flip over to the role that L'Jarius Sneed was left or departed from, and Jalen Watson can rotate into the role that Trent McDuffie was in, why would we guess or wonder if Joshua Williams or Nazee Johnson could do the same? So it'll be a big test. They'll have to get comfortable out there, but I think they'll be ready.
Dana, and I think I might be in the minority. I think it's always kind of hard to judge because sometimes statistics don't tell the whole story. I think Mahomes gotten better the last couple of weeks than what I saw the first few weeks of the season. Do you think he's getting more comfortable?
I think he's getting more comfortable. I will say it's tough, and as a wide receiver, like, I hate the fact that the stats on interceptions go towards the quarterback because it's not always the quarterback's fault. Like, there are times where the offensive line, they are told to chop down a defensive lineman or to get the hands down because it's going to be a quick throw and to do what they take, do what it takes to accomplish that. Now, the defense gets paid too. But, like, every interception is not on the shoulders of Patrick Mahomes or any quarterback around the league. Sometimes it's the wide receiver that should do a better job of creating space. I think one interception, the Cam Taylor-Britt interception against the Bengals, to me, in part, that's Xavier Worthy's responsibility, especially as a former wide receiver. We were always taught, if you can't get the ball, make sure that the defense doesn't get the ball and become a defensive back. Even if you have to rip his helmet off, we'll take the penalty instead of the interception. So if you look at the nature of his 8 interceptions, there's probably a couple, 3 maybe, that were totally his fault. But then the others are landing at the feet of the wide receivers, and we have to be better at that. So if you look at in totality, you go back to the Saints game, he threw for 300 yards plus. Right, it's 46th time in his career that he's thrown for over 300 yards. Did you realize that that was the first time that he threw for over 300 yards and he did not complete a pass over 15 yards?
That tells you
he's getting better. That tells you that he's gotten better, that he's recognizing the two-shell defense, the Tampa 2, and when to take strikes down the field. And if there's a team that's going to take away that he is confident in nickel and diming them down the field to the extent of winning on Monday Night Football against the Saints. So I agree with you. He's definitely gotten better. We just don't see it all in the numbers.
Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, will be listening to you and the guys on Sunday right here on 96.5 The Fan. Safe travels, and we'll see you in Vegas this weekend, man.
All right, sounds good, fellas. Hey, you guys be safe out there. You guys got extra days. Like, you know, Vegas can wear you down. We need you still strong by the end of the week.
This is like my 15th day in Vegas this year, Danan. I'm a pro.
We've been all here right. A lot, Danan. We've been here a lot. It's a good place to have to spend some time, that's for sure.
For sure.
There you go. Danan Hughes. He's presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. You heard Danan there. That's right. We are hanging out for the rest of the week, heading into the weekend at Circa Las Vegas Stadium Swim Pool Club is where we're broadcasting today and tomorrow. And then tomorrow night, we've got our happy hour event right here at Circa inside their overhang bar. So if you're coming out to Vegas, make sure you check out the property first and foremost. Even if you're not staying here, spend some time at Stadium Swim. Definitely come to our party. RSVP, it'll get you entered to win some free tickets to the game. Also, a chance to win a day bed right here at Circa. Before we get back into DeAndre Hopkins and some of the comments from Andy Reid, we are still expecting to hear from D-Hop this hour, perhaps. Let's get to all 32 and go around the NFL for a second. This one's kind of fun. You guys know in the past we've talked about the Uncrustables. You're like, what does this have to do with the
familiar.
NFL? I promise it comes back to the NFL. The Uncrustables are the favorite snack at halftime of most teams and post-practice during the week. In fact, league-wide, Cody, they eat 80,000 of them a year. I bring this up because I say, you know what? I've been trying to tell you. I know you can make a PBJ at home. I know you've got kids, and it's probably way, way cheaper. I totally get it. But you guys were clowning on me years ago for eating Uncrustables. I must say, we've heard from Whit Merrifield on this in the past. They eat them on the flight. NFL teams, everybody's having them at halftime. They are very good.
They're I don't think it's a taste thing. I think it's just a snack. It's a protein delivery source.
It doesn't taste like a dry-ass
granola bar.
If they would bring me an Uncrustable, I would destroy one right now. I'm so hungry. I would destroy one. I need to get a drink. That's what I need.
Yeah,
I see some of my friends and some of our listeners just came by the cabana. Looks like he's got a good, I don't know, 32 ounce of fruity alcoholic goodness or something over there. Real cheap, too. Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing's stopping really you from getting one of those.
In the next
commercial break, go get yourself one. Also, that looks into a great hangover water cup. It looks like the water cup they give women after they give birth at the hospital.
It's got the straw. It's got the right straw
for that.
No, I am going to go down there and get me one of those. Yeah, that looks
crazy.
So Uncrustables, NFL tying. You like that tie? You didn't think I was tying an
Uncrustables
to the NFL today. This came from a reporter, Sam Kavaris. By the way, they did rankings for each team. I was trying to find the Chiefs. The Jags ranked third with about 315 of these eaten a week. I'm trying to find if the Chiefs are in the top 10 of Uncrustable eating or not.
Well, you got to find out. Otherwise, you're cheering for a non-Uncrustable team.
That's
right. You got to consider that. For me, I was looking at the league news this week and realizing – the Green Bay Packers are one of the smartest organizations for the last 20 years for a freaking reason. One is because they get quarterback right all the time. Second is because they're not afraid to surround themselves with smart players. I was thinking about how well Brian Flores has worked in Minnesota and how a former failed head coach can still be great at something, coaching a defense. Robert Saleh was the fall guy. Green Bay bringing in Robert Saleh is an incredibly smart football move. He has all the experience in the world. He's been an NFL head coach before. He knows all the different jobs. And all you're bringing him in there is to consult on some game tape to give you some edge of maybe a way to attack a team. It is a very, very, very smart football decision by the Green Bay Packers to bring in someone like Robert Saleh midseason. And it just reminds me of why the good teams stay good and the bad teams stay bad. Bad teams just cut coaches because their quarterback's sad. And good teams bring up smart football people to help them for the rest of the regular season.
All right, guys. Tyreek Hill, former Kansas City Chief. Tua could be back. He said Tua's return to the field almost made me cry. That being Tyreek Hill, of course. He said fantasy football.
His stats have made me cry.
He said fantasy football owners should start him. He's on pace for his second lowest season in his career other than his rookie season. So I don't know if anybody's more excited that Tua could be returning to the field than Tyreek Hill. Of course, it begs the question, is it the right decision for Tua? Can he hopefully stay healthy the rest of the season? It helps out the Dolphins a lot, obviously, as their quarterback situation has not been very good with him going.
Definitely helps them out. As far as the decision, I think we said it at the time, or at least I said it. I think we all were fairly in agreement on it. Look, it's totally his decision to make. It's very easy, I think, from the outside for us to be like, yeah, don't freaking play. Like, if I was in your spot, take the money and all that. But when football has been all you've done your entire life, I think it's way tougher in his shoes to not do it. So he decided, in his mind, that this is still the right thing to be doing in life, and that is playing football and the risks that are associated. From a football end, purely, yeah, the Dolphins obviously are way better with Tua, and Tyreek Hill probably will have much better numbers with Tua as their quarterback. That is all 32 in the NFL. Up next, we still are awaiting DeAndre Hopkins. He's expected to address the Kansas City media for the first time now that it is official that he is number 8 for the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk a little bit more about what we expect from him. And one thing Cody wants to run by you in the AFC West and with one quarterback. Back here on Cody and Gold, very important during the break. I had to make sure I was staying hydrated.
That's a big-ass drink you got.
It is hot outside. I needed to make sure I got some liquid
and
hydrated, you know?
That's how hydration works.
Out there in the sun, I must say, you can feel it. Oh, yeah, it feels good to have the rays, man. About 80, it feels in the 80s now out there. And here it's cool. Right out there, poolside, though, it is very, very warm as we are broadcasting from Circa's Stadium Swim, their big pool club up here. Yeah, you said, go get yourself a drink. I said, you know what?
I agree.
That's a good idea, Cody. So we went and we got ourselves a little Ace Paloma cocktail today at
Sounds
Stadium
nice.
Swim. You know?
That sounds delightful. My wife's heading down, I think, to get us a drink.
32 ounces, we're good to go for a little while.
I wasn't sure you'd make it back in time. I was afraid I shouldn't be. I didn't want us to both leave at the same time.
True.
To get a drink, just in case one of us didn't make it back in time, you know?
I decided I'd start drinking this with 90 minutes to go on the show. If I started drinking this at 10.
32 ounces is pretty smart, I guess, for that.
Yeah,
we're a lot.
Is this going to be an afternoon nap situation for you?
Absolutely. Yeah. We're going to have a good time doing the show. Mm. We'll work on the show after this show. And, yeah, we'll hang out by the pool. And it'll definitely be a nap a little bit later on nap. But we're in Vegas to have a good time. And obviously to talk Chiefs Raiders. And guess who just spoke a second ago? Let's pick it up. DeAndre Hopkins, the newest member of the Chiefs. We now know he's wearing number 8. This is his first time talking to the media. Here's what he said about being in Kansas City.
Kansas City, you know, last time you played the Chiefs was in the AFC Championship game in 2019. I know your best game was in 2017 with 3 touchdowns. What's it like now playing with those quarterbacks to now you're going to be playing with Patrick Mahomes?
Always been a fan of Pat. Stayed in touch with him throughout his career. So, excited to go get started.
While you were in Tennessee, teammates with LeJarius Sneed, before you came here, what did he tell you? Did you all have conversations about what it's going to be for you here in Kansas City?
No, we didn't have many conversations. We was focused on where we were.
DeAndre, how do you just see your fit in the offense? And I assume you played against these guys and you watch these guys enough to know the way they like to play and you know yourself really well. How do you see that marrying?
Wherever I'm needed. That's on coaches to put me where I need to be, but wherever I'm needed.
DeAndre, what would you say about Patrick's game and how you watched that over the years and what you do think of his capacity as a quarterback?
One of the best to do it. I was looking forward to going out there playing with him. Obviously, been a fan of his, so can't wait.
Said that you guys talked a couple years ago about you know what it would be like if you could come here and play.
Pardon me, who you say it first?
Chris Jones.
Oh, okay.
He said in Miami, you guys talked a couple years ago, kind of like how awesome would that be? I was, going to ask you if you thought about what it would be like to play with Patrick, and Andy Reid, and just kind of, what you thought about that?
Obviously throughout my career, been a big fan of what Andy has done, going against those guys in Houston. They gave us some tough battles, so I always, just admired them from afar. Chris Jones is one of my buddies off the field, so him and I, of course, talked about, the potential, if I ever got the chance being a free agent or getting traded.
DeAndre, you've been traded before.
Mm-hmm.
Can you walk us through just your initial reaction when you found out that the trade is going to happen, you are going to be a Chief, considering your move from Houston to Arizona?
Obviously, the trade before was a little different, different circumstances. I got to thank Rand and his staff for, trading me to a contender, first of all, because those guys, could have traded me anywhere. But, I got to tip my hat off for those guys before anything and thank them a lot for that. Coming here, when I got the news, obviously I was excited, but, ready to get to work.
Hey, Andre, what do you find out about this place the moment you step into the building? It's just the winning culture here. And does it feel like that the moment you step in?
Oh, yeah. I think everything everybody does here, not just in this facility, but outside the facility, is detailed. And that's how you win championships.
Andre, what's the process of studying and trying? Andy mentioned potentially playing on Sunday. What's the process of studying and trying to get up to speed in a hurry?
I've been in the NFL for 12 years, so, I know football. So hopefully I can go out there and make some plays and wherever I'm fitted, wherever I'm needed.
DeAndre, what you've done in your career, what does it mean to you to come into a building that knows how to win championships and the approach that it takes?
It means a lot. It takes your game to a different level. It takes your focus, your drive, knowing that you're playing for something. It takes your game to a different level. Having played meaningful football in a couple years, since we probably started 8-0 in Arizona. It takes your game to a different level.
DeAndre, saw number 8 in there. Is that going to be your number? And so what's the significance?
Kobe Bryant, one of my favorite athletes of all time. So I knew if I ever got the chance to wear number 8, just like when I picked number 10, Messi was my favorite. Soccer player, underdog, felt like me at the time coming out of college. And, Kobe, it's number 8, it's a special number.
DeAndre, you've been, one of the best receivers since you walked into the league. What does your skill set add to this Chiefs offense, in your opinion?
I can do a lot of things. Obviously, you guys seen But, you know, just man, just trying to make plays. You know, I'm not trying to give a PSA of what I can do or what I can't do. I play football, so it's going out there and making plays, man.
You mentioned that you've worked with a number of quarterbacks. In your experience, how long does it take to truly get on page with the new quarterback that's thrown to you?
Obviously, Pat has done this before with different receivers coming in. I've played with many quarterbacks, so I think we'll be all right.
Andrew, you mentioned a couple of times just as far as, you know, the importance of the team winning here and that being able to be in that situation. How important is it to you, or was it for you, if you were going to make a move, that it's to a contender, and what's the importance of you if you got to play in the Super Bowl?
Very important. I think I've done a lot, all the accolades that I can accomplish as far as personal. So I think, you know, just playing meaningful football in January is, you know, what's left on the list.
Okay, thanks, DeAndre.
All right, so that was DeAndre Hopkins, the newest member of the Chiefs. You heard the backstory, why he picked number 8. Number 10 wasn't available, otherwise he would have stuck with it. But number 8, Kobe Bryant, that was a number he wanted to wear at some point in his career. Now he gets that chance. Sorry, Justin Ross. I don't know what number you get when you get elevated from the practice squad. You'll pick a different number. It's not 8. You're not DeAndre Hopkins. Seniority and all that, I understand. Also, he was just talking about the playbook and picking it up. I thought, I mean, it makes sense. It's a great answer. He's like, how do you go about picking up the playbook? And he's like, man, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but like, I played football for 12 years.
I like to think I know what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, basically, it's like, dude, I've been doing this thing.
He might as well say, bitch, please. Jeez. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, I'm DeAndre
Hopkins. Do I have to dump that, by the way?
I'll figure out. I don't think so. I think I'm allowed to say that word.
Okay. Like, I feel like I needed to be sure, guys.
That was essentially the
way you just said it, no nonchalant.
Though,
I was like, are you already feeling good from the drink already that you got?
You know, Cody has only had one sip of his.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I just think that, like, you know, I think there's a lot of truth in that. We talk about, like, people figuring up offenses, figuring out where they're supposed to go. He has been in this league. He has played in a lot of different offenses. He knows his route tree. They're going to use his route tree based on the offense that they already set. Like, this isn't new information for DeAndre Hopkins. His learning curve is going to be a little bit less than, I would say, a normal guy, don't you? At least Gold, they've got 5, 6, 7 things he can do.
We get spent so much time over the last couple weeks discussing familiar faces and people that know the Andy Reid offense. And here we are, and they sign a guy that doesn't know the offense, but you know what the equivalent of someone that has familiarity? A guy that's been in the league for 12 years. So I don't want to say we made too big of a deal about it because Andy was discussing how, you know, familiarity is a key thing a couple weeks ago. But it's a reminder that, like, if you're going to go get a guy that's played in the league for 10, 12 years, get him the playbook. Not going to take that long for him to pick it up.
No. No. He's an experienced player. He knows what he's doing. I think tomorrow we can get into more about, like, how much we want to see DeAndre Hopkins play. But, I mean, there are reasonable expectations for him. Look, I'm not out here telling you he's going to have 1,000 yards over the next 11 games for this team, or that's what it's going to turn into. But he's their number one wide receiver. Like, I mean, you want to talk about expectations. He's number one. Like, the number one target man, I still think he's Travis Kelce. The number one wide receiver on this team is DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
And based on the talent they've got around, you know, unless they're going to turn things over to the rookie and Xavier Worthy, and if they were, I think they wouldn't have made a move. Or they'd have made a smaller move like they did last year for Mecole Hardman. They didn't challenge Rashee Rice's superiority as the number one guy last year. They just brought in another depth guy. That's not what they did this time, Gold. They brought in a guy with, I don't know, 10,000 career receiving yards. What does DeAndre have? Because, I mean, is it around there? Something like that?
11 or 12,000, right?
Jesus.
I think that's why we were talking about the Hall of Fame stuff, and somebody's like, Gold, you're crazy. I think when his career's done, DeAndre Hopkins will have a very, very strong case and will end up getting in the Hall of Fame. I'm not saying he's first ballot, but winning a ring wouldn't hurt for his case as well. I think what right now the biggest knock on his Hall of Fame case is he was suspended for that year or whatever it was. But was it PEDs or something in, like, 2011?
Yeah, something like
that. And he also got hurt in that same, like, that same 2021-2022 time frame. So that would be the only question. But the numbers are going to – yeah, Cody, here's the exact numbers for D-Hop. 12,528, 79 touchdowns, All-Pro, first-team All-Pro, 3 times in his career, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5-time Pro Bowler. If he gets a ring, And he ends up with over 13,000, 14,000 type of yards in his career.
The Chiefs should just become the destination for players to get one ring that solidifies them as a Hall of Famer. There's lots of players who, you know this works.
Yeah.
You got all the counting stats in the world. Like a Phillip Rivers, he might still get in the Hall of Fame. I don't know. But if Phillip Rivers had a ring, there'd be no doubt, right?
I think so.
He'd be a no-doubter.
I think so.
Man, in his 60,000 passing yards and his 14,000 kids.
That's the question of Matt Ryan,
he'd be in the
too.
Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 913-586-7965, the Jay's Southland Tow Service text line. Based on some things that were said a minute or two ago, someone said, Cody is comfortable, LOL.
I had a sip of one drink.
And then what happened? Immediately.
I got loose.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're by the pool. We're in Vegas.
We are. Someone says drinking on the job. Someone says drinking on the job yet again.
It's not even Club 16.
We may need to have an intervention. Look, I'm staying hydrated. That's all it is. You got to stay hydrated. I'm thirsty. I'm supposed to not drink anything? I'm thirsty. That's it. That's all it is.
Yeah, do you have any Pedialyte with you as well?
I bought some or brought some liquid IV stuff. You know, the liquid IV pouches.
Powder stuff?
Oh, those.
I've never tried those.
That will definitely be part of the mix later on today.
So you just like chug one of those earlier in the night? Or is it like a post-nasal?
I prefer before bed.
Oh.
But you never know. Or if you know you're about to have a day of drinking. Again, we still have days of shows to do. Friday afternoon is different
this show's
story.
Pretty much over.
So you see you're getting after it Friday night.
Friday night for sure. But today, look, we'll have a good time. But we got a show to work on for tomorrow still. We got things to do, a party to host. But Friday after, I'll be honest, the boss knows too. At noon Vegas time on Friday, then all bets are off.
Is your hope that you already have a buzz going by the time noon hits at Vegas time?
No, because we have a party to host and we're going to the Golden Knights game. So,
oh, okay.
We got things to do.
Okay. You guys can be those drunk idiots at the game that we can watch.
Nope.
Can't be that, man.
Okay.
Nope.
Right. I've been that guy at a sporting event once in my life, and I can't do it again. Just one time, I shoved over Ryan Howard's kid on accident.
Oh, jeez.
I just, you know, man. That's it for me. That was it. That was a wake-up call for me, Drew.
Yeah.
I was never going to be that person at a sporting event anymore.
I bet it was.
So it says back in Kansas City, they stay hydrated with Propel. That's right. That's my drink of choice. I couldn't find Propel this morning.
It didn't happen at the bar.
I did not see any Propel down there. Otherwise, I'd be drinking that. Instead, we settled for something else.
If they had had a Propel-based cocktail would you have been on it?
Yeah. Absolutely. A little berry mixed in with a little tequila or something. Yeah.
Berry
flavor and everything,
cocktail.
Yeah, you knew.
We'll have to do that during a fan club here soon. We'll do a I'll try to concoct a Propel based cocktail.
Oh boy,
I don't know what it's going to be yet, but it's kind of like tequila and water essentially, but mixed berry, right?
Yeah. That's all right, terrible. Let's get to the random question of the day.
Random question
for you, Gold. For you, Drew, over in the text line 913-586-7965. Of course, you can hit us up on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook. Please like, subscribe over on YouTube. Love having people tune into the stream over there on Twitch at the Fan965, where we can interact with you over there. The question I have for you today is what we've been watching all day. Do you think we've been watching the Power Slab competition?
Yeah, it's on
the big screen the whole time.
143-foot screen.
Do you think there is a single adult person you are capable of knocking out with a slap?
No.
I don't care how big, how small, but they have to be an adult.
Well, I would hope
an adult person you think you could knock out with one of your slaps, Gold. Are you strong enough? I think with training I could knock somebody out with a slap.
Well, training's a whole different story. There's a lot of things you could do with training. I'm just saying right now if somebody just stood in front of you and you did the wind up because we're watching the power slap and you go 1, 2, 3.
Your whole face melts.
No way.
Two, my
question for you is, would you flinch? Because you get penalized in this slap fighting, you can bet on it and everything. You get penalized if you flinch before. I think both
Who
of
wouldn't
us would flinch?
It's been a really long time since I've been slapped. I mean, really
Cody's
long.
Cody's wife is here. Is this true? Can you back this up? When's the last time you just slapped him in the face, you know? Never.
She
said
she thinks she's never slapped me. See?
Well, all right.
We have a healthy relationship, you know?
that is a very good thing.
Oh, my goodness.
I've been slapped, but it's been a while. I've always advocated for on this show, we should stop trying to come up with new creative bets, and instead we should just slap at each other. But then the boss doesn't like it because hit our coworkers or whatever.
I want to do the car jujitsu thing. Where there's a day we're in the parking lot, we're in your brand new Volkswagen,
oh,
we're
man,
sitting
careful.
There, we're both buckled in, And if anybody doesn't know what we're talking about, you can search it on social media. There's a real thing. It's mainly in Eastern Europe, I think, but it's another like actual sport. And it's jiu-jitsu, but in the car. Now, you can't like choke the person out with the seatbelt, but basically you got to race to undo the seatbelt, and you're trying to like pin them against their car.
Get an arm bar against somebody
in the car.
I don't know how Volkswagen Lee Summit feels about
video,
car jiu-jitsu.
The video would be funny. Incredible.
This essentially sounds like the version of the game my brothers and I used to play. We'd get like a pellet, like a light BB or a pellet gun or whatever, and we would just like wrestle around to see who could like wrestle it away from the other person.
Have you seen the last couple texts that have come in? One, I would kick Cody's ass if I find out that he actually, well, not him. It'd be if
we were asking if she had slapped me, first of all.
Someone else is training. I slap and Cody's taking a nap.
Dang.
I think I could.
He said he can put you to sleep,
out.
Cody.
I think you're underestimating how much force, or just like you know it is. Like when they, like a sucker punch. Like sometimes you just catch someone in the right part of their face, then it takes them down.
That was all about training. Yeah, like the form. Somebody said they work at an engineering firm, and there's a lot of people who they could knock out with a slap.
I asked one question about power slap, and now people are threatening me with violence. By the way, this seems like one of those things that you're like, wait, would I really enjoy watching this? I'm like, I don't know, man. I'm kind of hooked into it. It's like watching the trampoline basketball league when I was a kid, you know? It's like, I am interested in, like, the slow motion cut down and people's clear routines of, like, getting into this slap fight.
If you're sitting in the pool out here and you're having a few drinks and it's hot and you're just chilling and this is on the TV, which it is right now along with some soccer, of course you're going to watch. You're going to be locked in.
If they had that
you're
up on
absolutely be locked in.
If there was no college football on a Saturday and they had the slap fights on there, people would be going nuts.
Yeah. I mean, especially like I guess here's the other thing is like if I put some money on this, this would be like the time we've been on snooker. Like I'm going on there just to
that bet
find
didn't hit, did
bets.
It? That bet did not
that
hit.
That did not hit. Ken, he didn't remember his name and everything. Down. Yeah, I'll remember his name. Everyone remembers the bets they've lost, right? It's like the hands in poker.
Drew, do you think you could knock Cody or I out with the slap, one slap?
No.
No?
No.
Cody, do you think you could knock Drew out?
Maybe.
I do not have a glass jaw, all right? I'm all right. I'm good.
I'm not ruling it out. Have you ever been punched in the face?
Have I ever been punched in the face?
In your whole life, have you ever been punched in the face?
Not that I can remember.
Then I could knock you out. I mean, let's just face reality. He's never been hit in the face with a fist.
I will say that.
Has experienced that at least once in your life.
I will say this. I would get all the penalty points though because I would absolutely flinch. There's no way I could. Yeah. I would just stand there and take it.
I think all three of us would. I think when you're not used to that, I think you would. Some of these guys have the pose down. They're like standing up and they like puff their chest out. If we had video right now,
and then they all are such like Russell Crowe and Gladiator after they get hit. Like, are you not entertained?
The recovery is impressive.
Look how red his face is, dude.
He's been slapped 10 times. He's been slapped 10 times, and they hold these like what would you call
them,
sticks or something? They hold these like sticks to
like a balance stick.
Yeah, and you know it's coming, and it's just the scowl on the face. Like, that's what it is.
He took that one kind of like a, that didn't look like a very.
He goes like this. He was like, "Yeah, that was nothing."
No,
like,
nobody's going after you, Gold, but somebody else from the 9-1-3 said, "I can make Cody's ear bleed with a slap."
Yeah, what?
Well, they have earplugs and some ear stuff because that's obviously a concern. You can cause someone to go deaf or whatever because if you hit them in the ear, you're not supposed to hit them, obviously, in that regard.
Man, I just...
Someone says half and half sky watermelon. Oh, that's unrelated.
Oh, that's back to the cocktail.
It's the drinks,
the fan clubs. Okay. Someone says one of my buddies is in a slap fight. It's effing bonkers. It is kind of crazy to see it, man. Some of these guys look like they have their soul snatched.
They definitely do. That is the random question of the day. Up next, we continue broadcasting live from Circa Resort and Casino here in Vegas. We're at Stadium Swim. It's starting to get a little warmer outside, hanging out poolside. Another hour to go. We'll be joined by Mike Palm of Circa. We'll talk about some futures bets for the Chiefs looking forward. Also, big college football weekend ahead. That's up next right here on Cody and Gold.